Saudis who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
Attack by Oh, there is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Holmes coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies like I usually do with Carlos, who seems a little more subdued, I think, than usual, and possibly I know why. We are going a little later than we might usually go as well on this Tuesday evening, and I was hopeful that that might bring in more fans, although based on what we have to talk about, maybe that's not the case. I'm not sure exactly how it'll turn out. Eureka will have to crunch some numbers afterwards and tell us exactly how it turns out. But Carlos, how are you doing this evening when you're not quite ready to shadow box, but still enjoying the new music, it seems like?
I am thankful that this podcast is on this particular Tuesday and not anywhere near after the result last Wednesday, or else I'd be a lot more aggressive on this episode of this podcast. We are 6 days removed from what was, I would say, inarguably the most embarrassing loss in the Rowdies modern era. But you can debate with me if you'd like on another day, or maybe today. I don't know. If you're listening to this live, tell me while I'm wrong, or tell me if you agree. We're 6 days removed. I've cooled down, but I'm not any less upset or disappointed or embarrassed. But we can talk about that later on, James. I know you mentioned to me before we started going live and before we started recording, if you're listening to this tomorrow, they wanted to flip the order of how we usually do things. We'll get to that in just a second. But other than the on-field performance from my favorite soccer team in the world, I'm well. I made it back from the office today in D.C. and it was pouring rain, so I look like quite a mess right now. But we're here. We're live, James. It's another beautiful Tuesday evening, and as Pitbull famously once said, every day above ground is a good day. Well, that's what I'll say right now, James. That's what I'll say. What's going on in your life, James Knowles? What's going on?
Nothing too much. I am about to celebrate my wife's birthday this upcoming weekend, so that will be fun. But it does mean I have to miss the Rabbies game, unfortunately. So I will miss what I hope is going to be a win. But yes, that is the upcoming lineup for me here. To get back to the Rowdies, we are going to do the preview first. So this week, this is not a change for the future. This is not something we're going to keep doing. This is just specifically for this week because I think it is merited that we spend even more time. We usually spend a ton of time on the review anyway, but I think that it's merited that we just make it the main everything in this particular episode. So yeah, we're going to do the preview first, and then we'll do the quick recaps before we move into what is bound to be a 30, 40, 50 minute questions session between Carlos and myself. And then we'll hit two interesting things for extra time. One of them we definitely need to focus on before we get out of here. So we're going to try and keep this as brief as possible. But as I'm sure everybody listening knows, that is not our forte. And this particular week, it may not be either. So I'm going to jump in here and see exactly how quickly we can get through at least the beginning portions. Last week, the Rowdies did not do particularly well in two games, which we are going to discuss shortly. You are probably aware of both of them, or at least one of them, if you are even a casual listener or fan of the Rowdies. This upcoming week, they play Rhode Island, so that is something we do have a chance for things to get a little bit better, and we're all hopeful, of course, that it does. Don't forget that we have our ticket competition to bring a new person to the Rowdies home games. If you bring somebody new to the Rowdies home games, you take a picture with them, take a selfie, and then you tag RBLR Sports on whatever social media you use. We are going to be on there. Don't forget. Then you have a chance to win free tickets to the August 16th game versus Phoenix Rising. It is the original era night. So it is going to be a lot of fun, regardless of where we are in August. Please keep that in mind. It is the original era night. We are celebrating the founding of the Rowdies, the founding of this soccer team and this club, I should say, more than the team, because the team is something that changes if you know anything about your your names of individual items. But
true.
Let's jump in here. You know, follow us on all the social medias. You guys know all that. Let's get into the preview real fast, and we'll do the predictions very early for this one. But this Saturday, the Rowdies host Rhode Island at 7:30 at Al Lang Stadium. Be there. I cannot be there, as I said, so I need all of you to fill in for me and carry on my voice, because I will be down here in Bradenton with my wife. Rhode Island, very interesting. They are only 2 points ahead of us right now. They have two more draws than we do, and our head-to-head so far is 1-0-1. We won, I think, our home game, and they won their home game, and that was two games. So a little bit of history, but not that much. J.J. Williams is currently out, I believe, with an injury, so we don't actually have to worry about him unless something miraculous happens between this current day, Tuesday, and Saturday. So I guess that kind of helps us as well. Their recent lineup has been Koke Vegas in net, Rio Hope Gund, Grant Stoneman, Frank Nodarcy, and Aldair Sanchez in defense, Jojay Aquizera, Maxi Rodriguez, Zach Haribo, and Amos Shapiro-Thompson in the midfield, sitting behind Albert Dequa and Noah Fuson. Clay Holstad has also started in the midfield in place most recently of Zach Haribo, another former Rowdies player. Like I said, JJ is currently out, but Mr. Williams leads the team with two goals at the moment. So possibly that is a positive sign for us. And, you know, there's something to be said about this team being on worse form than they were last year. I don't think Rhode Island started particularly well in last season, but they did turn it on. So it's not too different from roughly the same lineup. They do have a couple of differences here and there, but I'm hopeful that we will be able to get something out of this one as well. Carlos, do you have anything to add before we jump into our early predictions?
Yeah, on paper, a great lineup. I'm surprised it hasn't panned out for them as quickly as I might have expected. This offseason, that kind of points to them as a team that might be one to look out for in the Eastern Conference. Although I'm sure many people would have said the same thing about the Rowdies and the Rowdies' roster, and here we are. I have to give an obligatory shout out to former Georgetown Hoya, Rio Hope Gund. Good to see him still kicking it in the American professional ranks.
Yeah.
Of course, former Tampa Bay Rowdy, like you said, Zach Garibo, really flourished over there last year in Rhode Island. I was really, 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 really upset that we never really got the full Zach Garibo down here.
Yeah.
The Rowdies, injuries, and by the time he kind of came back, we were pretty settled in the midfield. I mean, I always said Zach Garibo was really one player that I thought could flourish with the squad. It's sad it didn't happen, but I'm glad it's working out for him. He's a great guy. He was one of those people in Birmingham that I was like, ah, man, I could see him in a Rowdies uniform. And he was, but not for long, unfortunately, at least on the field. So I'm happy that it's been working out for him over there last year in particular. Hopefully it doesn't work out for him this weekend, of course. But I do think that JJ Williams' loss for them this weekend with his injury is rather big for them. It seems like
big loss.
Yeah, last year he was a big, big player for them. Again, quite literally, physically. But he was scoring a lot of goals. He was kind of the focal point of a lot of their attack. I thought with Albert Dequa in this lineup, they might kind of be able to not rely on JJ Williams as much, kind of distribute some of that wealth to Dequa. But evidently it hasn't worked out for them this year. They are, what did you say, 2 points ahead of us? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
2 points ahead of us, sitting pretty at the bottom of the table with your Tampa Bay Rowdies and Hartford Athletic, tied with Birmingham, who we struggled with earlier this season as well. So there's a lot. I mean, it's an interesting team. Obviously, plenty of great players on paper, like I said, but evidently not working for them yet. Predictions, James, is it time to jump into this? Anything you want to point out about any of these folks, any of these players? I did say Albert Dequa was someone I would have loved to see sign with the Rowdies this offseason, but I always say that for the last like two seasons, three seasons. I've said Albert Dequa has been on my wish list. Evidently, it hasn't gone too well for him in Rhode Island, so we hope that continues to be the case with all due respect to Mr. Dequa this weekend. Anybody else will point out here, James? Maxi Rodriguez, I think, was also a really, really big pickup this offseason. He was one that a lot of people were talking about this offseason. He's been a huge, huge point in the midfield for Detroit for X amount of years, at least 3 years, maybe 4 years. He's been with Detroit for quite a while. So it was a really, really big switch up for him personally. I saw the interview he had when he made that trade, or when that signing happened. It was a really big move for him personally. Maxi Rodriguez is a great, great player. But again, another big name that it seemed like hasn't really clicked altogether yet for Rhode Island, despite having these really talented players. So I think you see some similarities between us and this squad in that way. So playing style, I can't say I've seen a lot of Rhode Island this year. It hasn't really been something I've been, keeping an eye on, but certainly surprised that it hasn't panned out for them as of yet. Anything to add, James, here before predictions?
No, I think based on your and my level of knowledge, we are probably in roughly the same boat for minutes viewed of Rhode Island. So I think we can just jump into the predictions here.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, I'm basing everything on, knowing what I knew about them last year and, course, just the roster that they have. Again, rather talented roster on paper, but as we've come to know rather well in our situation, that doesn't always pan out in results. So in this case, I don't think Rhode Island figures it out this weekend down in Tampa Bay, but I'm not necessarily sure we figure it out either. So I'm going to go with a safe 1-1 draw prediction for this weekend, James. I think that's going to be where we go. Woobs has been hot, kind of. Ollie kind of been hot. One of those two guys is going to get on the score sheet. And then, I don't know, Zach Erivo, former Rowdy, gets on the score sheet because that's how it tends to go. So let's say that. Former Rowdy already scored on us this past the weekend prior against Charleston. We'll get to that later on, but I could see a streak like that continuing because that tends to be our luck, James. But I do think 1-1 draws probably where this game goes. Yeah.
Yeah. I am joining you in a draw. My prediction is a 2-2 draw though. And Eureka is a little bit more optimistic than both of us with a 2-1 win. So congrats to Eureka if we do get a win on this one. Let's transition into the review section. But before we do, just want to say liking and subscribing is free. But if you think you might need some new threads coming up this year, you can support this podcast by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com. Eureka is pointing at it right, or excuse me, Carlos is pointing at it right now. Eureka has put it up on the screen. I am blowing it with the names though. but yes, it is shop.rblrsports.com. I do have that name down. And if you check out the designs that we've got going on there, where we will have a link in the description, by the way, you can also use the promo code COYR for 10% off your order. Please do check it out. We've got some good stuff up there for the Rowdies, the Sun, the Rays, the Bucks, absolutely, and the Lightning. Look, I got the names back. I got all the names back. We're doing a little bit better now. All right, Carlos, do you want to take the quick recap number one or quick recap number two?
Yeah, I'll let me start it off, James. I'll jump into a quick, brief summary of what happened this past Wednesday against a team I really dislike. It was evident that nobody listened to this podcast when I said, what are you going to do about disrespect in our direction on behalf of this team, Orlando City? We lost 5-0, James. It was embarrassing. It was one of the worst losses I've ever seen. It was arguably the worst loss in or the most embarrassing loss in the modern era since 2010. We can talk about that later on. But the lineup was Campisi in net, moving on from Bondre in the cup situation. I was kind of curious if we'd stick with Bondre as, the cup goalkeeper, as we've seen for Open Cup and Jägermeister Cup at this point. Weick was on the back line with Castellanos, Forrest Lasso, Aaron Guillen. In front of them, you had Nyagabire, then Kaziel, continuing his starting role at that center midfield spot. Chrysostomo and Ollie Bassett out wide. In front of them, Leo Fernandez and Manu Arteaga. Leo Fernandez kind of in maybe an attacking mid kind of role, maybe a out wide kind of role. It was a fluid position sometimes. James, in your notes, you said that the game was S-word. I don't know if we're allowed to curse on this podcast. We're on Twitter. I think we can, James, right? This isn't like on any public radio. It's going to fine us or something. The game was shit, James. It was dog shit. That's what you said. You didn't say dog shit. You said, quote, shit. I included the dog there. And they scored a lot of goals on us. Five to be exact. We held out for 30 minutes and it was 0-0 and maybe had a chance or two. You could say whatever you want about Orlando's roster value and how much they pay their players. I think we said it was 44 million was their transfer market squad value.
According to last transfer week. Market, which we just want to caveat, not always the best source, but relatively okay.
It's vaguely accurate. Point is, it doesn't matter because a 16-year-old who is probably worth $50,000 at most scored the first two goals on you. So
yeah,
throw that out the window, by the way, $44 million, my ass. Like we're talking about a 16-year-old, James. I mean, we have veteran back line guys on our team, like old guys, good players. And there was a lot of miscommunication in the midfield. I think Chrysostomo was slow on the first goal. We'll get to all of it in just a little bit. But my point is, I talked a lot about Orlando City's squad value, and ironically, it was probably the least transfer value player on their team that knocked in the first two goals, a 16-year-old kid, James. I'm not saying we need to rely on nobody should be relying on 16-year-old kids, and somehow Orlando was able to do that, to score their first two goals against us. I didn't even realize it until later on. That made it even more embarrassing looking back. I'm glad we're past it. It's time to, leave this in the dust. But unfortunately, a game like this doesn't leave the collective trauma of a fan base for many years, I think. They would go on to score three more goals after Carballo. By the way, scored within a matter of 2 minutes of each other. This Carballo kid, 16 years old, scored two goals in 2 minutes. Enrique scores a goal 42nd minute. Orlando is up 3-0 before halftime. Duncan Maguire, Big East legend, Creighton goal scorer, scores in the 52nd minute. And just to add salt to the wound, some bum, I don't even care who it was, honestly, scored a goal in the 90th minute and made it 5-0. We gave up before halftime, evidently. You could tell on the field. I had one more quick recap thing to add here, but I forgot. We'll come back to it as we come back and cycle back. But highlights here, 16-year-old scores two goals on us in 2 minutes. Rowdies are down 3-0 for at least 3-0 for a majority of the game. We go on to lose this one 5-0. James, we're out of the Open Cup. I will say maybe a positive highlight, Alex Rodriguez made his debut. It was cute to hear his family cheer him on when he came on the field. It was a really loud cheer. It was the only cheer that woohoo cheer that came from the Rowdies and the entire night. I don't blame them for cheering. I was like, in the moment, I was like kind of over it. I was kind of frustrated. I was like, wow. Looking back, obviously it's like a super big moment for a family that their kid, debuts professionally. In the moment, I could not give any less of a shit, but now again, 6 days removed, I'm happy for him. He seems like he has good quality, good potential. But again, I mean, he's a kid, right? Like, not the answer going forward for 90 minutes or anything like that, but a good piece of potential there for the Rowdies going forward. In the next several years, maybe we have a Santi Castaneda situation with him. That'd be great, right? That's about it. I will say the interesting bits from this game, players came over and acknowledged how bad they were after this game. I've never seen that since I've been going to the Rowdies, which admittedly hasn't been an eternity. My first Rowdies game was back in 2016. Got season tickets ever since. Folks that have been around since 2010, maybe even earlier, since the 70s, could tell me if that's ever happened before. You always seen it like on Instagram, like, oh, like players go over and apologize to the ultras or whatever in like Europe and some like, I feel like I've seen it in like the French league or something. I'd never seen that with the Rowdies before. Like players after huddling with Steve Coleman at the midfield for a while, come on over and just like, you know, sorry, basically. Never seen that before. I feel pretty neutral about it. I mean, it was nice gesture, I guess. You can tell they care, if that makes any difference. but that's sorry, my long-winded quick recap. Rowdy's going to lose 5-0. We'll come back and debrief this a bit more.
Yeah.
16-year-old scores 2 goals on us, James. You would think things get better and can only go up from here, right, James?
Well, if by better you mean we didn't lose 5-0 again, then sure.
that's my tee up to you. What happened on Saturday, James?
Yeah, let's get into the league game that we had this past weekend. So we played Charleston at Al Lang Stadium, and it was a bigger crowd for this one, but they probably left in I don't think they left in the same emotional state, but they left in a poor one all the same. I will say that much. In net, we had Nico Campisi. We had Lawrence White, Forrest Lasso, Aaron Guillen, and Blake Bodley in the defense. It was a back four. Very interesting there. Pacific Neongabire, Nate Worth, Danny Crisostomo, Ollie Bassett in the midfield. Leo Fernandez in his fluid role again with Manuel Arteaga starting up top. First goal was completely dead wrong. I will say this is a continuing trend over the course of this season. The Rowdies have had, by my count, 3 crazy penalties called against us, probably 4, but definitely 3 that were absolutely this one was bonkers. Like, I will say the result is not just because we had a bad ref, and we did have a bad ref. I'm not going to get fanned by the USL. That ref was shit. That ref, if we're dropping S-bombs, no F-bombs, says Eureka, but S-bombs we can use. That referee was trash, absolute shit. And I'm not going to get fined, so I have no problem saying that. I would like to tell it to his face because he was terrible. But the first goal was off a penalty, and it was terrible. Cal Jennings was the one who stepped up to take the penalty. Just like Carlos said, a former Rowdy scored against us. But it was afterwards that we completely fell apart. I think that I'm not going to be the first person to say this, but after we gave up that goal, you could see that a few heads went down, and possibly it was the case that the Rowdies felt already that they were beaten, and we gave up a goal really quickly after that. We were down 3-0 before halftime. The third goal was another Nico Campisi error. Not to say that this is entirely his fault either, but that third goal was down to his poor parry, which put it right in the path of, I think, MD Myers, if I'm not mistaken. And so 3-0 going in at halftime. They did respond at half, and they made some changes in the formation. Ultimately, they made some changes with the players as well. And it ended 3-0. So we did not get worse. It was 3-0 at halftime after both of these games, but it only ended 5-0 on Wednesday. So there's your improvement, Carlos.
Yeah. But can I say something real quick now before I forget to say it later, James?
Go for it. Go for it.
Maybe we can revisit this later, but I'm going to say it now before I forget. Can we stop with this whole, like, why didn't we like bring back Cal thing? Like, I see it way too much on Facebook. Like, we know, for the record, like we know Cal like left to pursue bigger opportunities, in theory in Europe, maybe MLS.
Right.
By the time we figured, and this is all speculation at this point, but we know for like that is what happened. That Cal was, you know, in great form, leaving to you know, a bigger and better things, hopefully for him. By the time things get figured out, like, we have strikers, like, Rowdies have a certain, you know, payroll. We don't have infinite money either. And we're owned by the Rays, who notoriously are, you know, rather strict with their money. Not that carries over to the Rowdies, but like things get figured out, right? Like rosters get figured out sooner rather than later. I don't know why, like everybody, like I see a lot of people being like, why don't we bring back Kyle? Why don't we just bring back Kyle? Like, if it was in the realm of possibility, it would have happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
It would have absolutely. Kyle was hot. Like the Rowdies would have liked to keep him. He wasn't perfect for the record. Everyone seems to remember a perfect Kyle Jennings that was knocking in all the countless of missed opportunities. And when it comes to high XG chances in particular, the easy goals, the ones in the playoffs, the big games, like there's plenty I remember. Point is, he was still on fire. He was still hot. If it was in the realm of possibility to bring Kyle back, it would have happened. Things get figured out. Luck of the draw, he ends up at a rival team in Charleston, where a former Rowdy's in the front office and Lee Cohen, and he knows
exactly.
A
Rowdy, and he knows Cal Jennings.
Yes, this is like it is what it is. Like, there's a lot of things you can maybe like complain front office and recruiting and scouting whatever. Like, that can be a conversation we have. Cal Jennings is not part of that conversation, respectfully. And I want to throw this out there because I feel like we just don't seem to grasp that. Cal Jennings, great player, great guy. We've had him on the podcast when he was with the Rowdies. By all accounts, a great guy. He was off to bigger and better things, in theory. Didn't work out. Lands back in the USL. It is what it is. We're here. Whatever. I really want to like put that to bed because I don't know why this is like a thing I keep seeing on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, whatever. Throw that out the window. Former Rowdy scores on this. It was a penalty. For the record, he's had more penalty goals and open play goals at the moment this season. In fact, Woobs has the same, I think, if not one more open play goal than Cal. If we're comparing strikers, which everyone seems to love to do on social media, if we're comparing strikers, Woobs' open play is like better than Cal at the moment. So throw that out the window. Doesn't matter. I just want to clear that for the record because it seems like it's still a thing that everybody talks about. Okay, James, take it away.
I think that was a good impassioned plea. It is something that we've seen, and it's something that you and I have complained about in private that we see that. And it's definitely fair that there's no reason for anybody to continue to bring this up. It doesn't make sense. He left where we could all see where the intention was, and if it didn't work out, Charleston was there almost as a fallback because Lee Cohen already knew Cal Jennings. That's what happened. So we don't know all of the ins and outs and in-betweens, of course. We don't have that from the club, and that's, you know, we're not asking that from the club. They wouldn't give it to us, I'm sure. But everybody in our position knows exactly what you guys watching or listening knows, and it's that much. So just keep that in mind for Cal Jennings.
Yeah.
So to finish out this quick recap, standings update is the only thing we need to do. Loudon still lead the league overall. Carlos, after many years of calling it, has finally called it right. Loudon are still killing it in the game, and the game specifically is the USL Championship.
It's not a fluke. It's not a fluke anymore. They're legit this season.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, all of those youth kids that they had were going to turn into veterans, I guess, and I think that they have finally come good this year. However, on the other side of things, we are tied for last in the league. I do want to point that out. We are tied on points. I can't quite tell what the tiebreaker is because I don't believe it is goal differential. And right now, Hartford also has 4 points. So if you look in different places, it says different things. We are tied for last is what I'm going to say right now. The USL website has not fully updated their standings page. If anybody from the USL is listening, please get on that, by the way. I really need that for like this podcast. That would
help. Are we supposed to be like a Division I league soon? Can we figure this out online?
Yeah. Very good point from Carlos. So let's do the top of the Eastern Conference. Loudoun United on 21 points, Lou City and Charleston on 18, Detroit City on 16, North Carolina FC on 14. Where the hell did that come from? I do not know. West, San Antonio and Monterey Bay have 16 points each. New Mexico has 15. Tulsa and El Paso each have 13. So the East is still the better conference, but the West has a couple more teams that are right around each other.
Yeah.
We're going to get into our questions now. And I just want to say we can do this at the same time. Man of the match for the Orlando City game. Neither Carlos or I took one. And I think that anybody who watched the game could see why. However, Carlos did want to name a man of the match overall. and it is more a men of the match, a people of the match.
People of the match. Yeah, and particularly for the Orlando game, and mostly because I was there for that one and I wasn't there for Charleston. My man of the match for the Orlando game, probably the Charleston game, I wouldn't know because I wasn't there necessarily, but specifically for the Orlando game was Ralph's mom. Because, and we're going to break down the game and kind of what happened and why I'm upset still 6 days later. But if there's one thing that was a bright spot, it was the 90 minutes of support from Ralph's mom, albeit in moments, it was rather ironic. It was wake up, Tim Bay Rowdy's wake up. It was, you know, it's not good enough, but it was still 90 minutes of singing. By the end of the game, in the 90th minute, they were singing the, you know, every week we follow the boys in green and gold, Rowdy to the Rowdy, right? Like, still singing 90 minutes into the game, down 5-0. In a game when we were down 3-0 for at least 3 goals for the majority of the game, I was happy. It was one point that made me happy. It was nice that despite all this talk that I heard on social media from Orlando fans about this Tampa takeover, well, they had a good number there. Certainly a good number of fans, especially in that little in bleachers they throw out there for them. It was quieter than what I heard from like Jacksonville Armada fans when they came back in the NASL days. Like, it was quiet. I mean, certainly they were up, you know, multiple goals, but you would expect them that to be like more singing, not less singing. It was quiet. It was quiet on their end, and it was evidently more vocal in the Rouse mob end. And that was nice. It was one point that, you know, I said this last week, right? We could lose on the field. I didn't expect us to lose this bad on the field. We could lose on the field, but I don't want us to lose in the stands, right? Like, I'll talk a little bit about why the attendance made me mad and maybe what we could do more as front office potentially to change that going forward. But in terms of the people that were there and the, you know, fan ratio, which was, I don't know, maybe 70-30 optimistically, probably more like 60-40, still in favor of the Rowdies, but I was happy with the vocal support from Ralph's mob and the fans kind of as a whole. It was important. That was very important. I there could not be a moment where another team comes into the stadium and out supports your team. Like, that's unacceptable. And Ralph Swamp didn't let that happen. So I think they deserved a well-earned shout out here. Shout out to everyone that was down there, probably for the Charleston game as well. It's probably still loud, wasn't there, but particularly for that Orlando game, I think there was a big point of pride that helped to lessen that wound maybe a little bit. It was nice. It was good to hear. Shout out to one Ralph's mob member who displayed a particularly anti-Orlando display at the very beginning of the game and was promptly removed from the stadium. Much respect to you.
I also want to say a quick shout out to the Masons who met Carlos at the game, I think, on Saturday. And then yes. I said hi to them this past game on Saturday. So they came up and said hi to me. So not necessarily man of the match, but you guys keep it up. We love you.
Shout out. Yeah. Shout out of the match. Absolutely. We can count that as a thing. James, this is our show. We can do whatever we want with it.
We can say whatever the hell we want other than F-bombs. No F-bombs.
Yeah, no F-bombs are allowed, apparently. But that's your man of the match. That's your shout out of the match, James. For the Orlando and Charleston game. But should we talk about the games as a whole? Probably.
I guess we might as well. That's what we're supposedly paid to do here. So yeah. let's get into this section. So my questions were, what do we say after this week? Which way is up? And are there any positives right now? No. Carlos, I will say that the Charleston game started off with a bad call, and possibly if the bad call is not given by a terrible referee who was terrible, then maybe things go differently. I will say that, because I think that we gave up the goal. We're in a rut right now. Anybody who's ever been in a rut in a game knows your immediate thought is, oh God, here we go. And maybe that was something that occurred with the Rowdies, because we did give up a goal immediately after that. And then we gave up another goal relatively shortly after that, too. This was something that happened also against Orlando City. So I'm saying that possibly the Charleston game could have gone differently. And I think that the change in formation in the second half looked positive. It, I think, played to our roster strengths, literally that we have more players who are defensive-minded than attacking-minded, or strikers, I should say. We have more defenders than strikers. But also, you know, all of that comes down to the injury situation that we have. So that's one potential positive. The other positive that I had, you already made this point, Carlos A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez made his debut. And then he also made his league debut against Charleston. And there were no goals during that period. So in hockey terms, I think they count the plus goals and the minus goals for while you're out on the field. Alex Rodriguez has a zero in the league. So that's positive. Carlos, what are your answers to these questions?
There are no positives. This is the most existential I've been about this club in a week. Or in my time following the club, there's no, I'm confused. I'm just confused. I don't know where we're going. A bad loss generally makes me like more existential. And it's like, makes me think about, well, shit, like where are we going to play in 3 years? I start thinking all these big questions and I was like, are we going to fold? Is that really like, what's it like? I start like putting all these like negative ideas in my head about like everything going on. It's like, slow down, right? We should still be panicking a little bit, because you can say whatever you want about Orlando City's roster and you know, being worth, I think last week I said almost 10 times as much as our roster according to Transfer Market. We've played MLS teams before and we've lost by a goal, right? Last year, was it Dallas or was it Houston?
Dallas. It was Houston the year before.
Last year was Dallas, and we should have won that game. We should have won that game. The goalkeeper, Martin Paz, played out of his mind. Ridiculous. We should have won that game. MLS squad, high squad value on Transfer Market, whatever, a whole nine yard. The year before, played against Houston. I think we lost 1-0, or was it also 2-1? We lost by one goal the year before to Houston.
Yeah. I think it was 2-1. I think it was 2-1.
The year before that was that the Orlando year in Orlando?
Yes. Yes.
Or maybe, maybe we lost to a USL team. But the last time, the MLS team before that was Orlando. Whether that was the year before or the year before that, doesn't matter. How many goals did we lose by in that game, James?
Well, certainly fewer than this.
it was a one goal loss as well. 2-1 loss in Orlando. We played better in Orlando than we did here. In Tampa Bay on our turf. Like, we got absolutely embarrassed. And it wasn't just a loss. Like, it was a loss to a team that this fan base has a rather storied history with. It was a loss to a team that you want something out of your team against this team, right? Give, like, something. Not a blowout loss. 3-0 is already like, oh, shit, like, are you kidding me? Like, to Orlando, like,
yeah,
5-0. What are we doing? Did we just turn off? Right? I don't care if it's an MLS team. We've lost by one goal to these MLS teams the last 3 times we've played them. We lost by one goal to Orlando the year they won the Open Cup.
Yep.
In Orlando. You know what I mean? You know, that's Orlando's, you know, highlight years, winning that tournament in 2022. And we lost, and we played an incredible game against them. I think we deserved more than that 2-1 loss. That was that game where Neil Collins got kicked out. Highlight memory for me.
And did not leave.
Yeah. For the record, I don't know if I ever told you this, James. That was the game that Eureka came up to me. He was like, hey, you want to do a podcast? And I was like, maybe. So some good memories in that game.
If I can cut you off for 1 second, Carlos, just note the comment that we received from John Tyler here. I'd argue that the loss to Charleston was even more embarrassing because at least Orlando is an MLS team. We are 1-8 in those two matches, 1-8 being the score, he's saying.
Yeah.
Now, John, I get where you're coming from. I will respectfully disagree with that. They are an MLS team, and I still think that the 5-0 was worse because of who it is. I think that the Charleston game was one where we had demanded some type of response and didn't get it. But the reason that we were like, we demand a response is because of the prior game. So, I understand where you're coming from though, because obviously eight to one in two games is very poor. Carlos, I want to turn it back over to you to keep going, but I want to, just add one more quick thing here. I think that we're in May right now, and it is the Rowdies' 50th anniversary season. Again, the Rowdies were founded in 1975. There was a pause from the 90s to 2010, and then ultimately the new ownership group at that time was able to reacquire the Rowdies' ownership, the Rowdies' title and logo and all that stuff, and they incorporated it into the club. We assumed the history, and all of the former players from the 1970s now associate this as the club that is the Tampa Bay Rowdies from the 1970s. We are a carryover. There's 50 years worth of history, outdoor, indoor soccer, NASL, NASL 2, USL Championship now. There's a lot behind this. The 50th year is supposed to be the year that we're celebrating, and we're saying, here's 50 years, here's to 50 more. It's May right now, and I'm worried that there are going to be fans who tune out. That's my worry. I think that there's the possibility that we have fans who tune out and they're like, well, I'll see what happens in 2026.
Yeah.
And my worry about that is if we do have fans that tune out and they say 2026 is when they're going to come back, how many people of that cohort are actually going to come back in 2026? You never know. Losing fans for any period of time is detrimental to a club, and especially detrimental to a club that's in a lower division. So I just wanted to point that out. I feel worried that the state that we're in right now, which has all sorts of different factors going into it, and let's not forget the factors that are beyond anyone's control, which is injuries. But I just worry that this is a situation where fans lose interest, and that is severely important to maintain for a lower division club. Now, Carlos, I will turn it back over to you.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, James. I'll put a word in your mouth, but it seems like the attitude that you're feeling, or the emotion you're feeling, is almost existential. Like I said earlier, right? Like it's a little bit existential. It's not like, oh, the club's going to fold or whatever, but like you said, a bad year.
The next thing, where are we going?
Yeah. A bad year is normal. It happens once in a while, whatever. But like a bad year can set a club back several years, right? If not worse, especially at this level, right? A difference of like 1,000 in attendance changes dramatically, like where you fall in the average attendance table in the USL, right? The Rowdies for several seasons were averaging over 6,000. I think we've broken that mark once in our home games, maybe twice, if I'm not mistaken. I have qualms about how we approach, and again, I'm not like a ticketing sales expert. I was a student ticket sales vendor for Georgetown Athletics for 3 years. Like, that's the extent of my knowledge. I sold season tickets to basketball supporters at Georgetown. So I don't have like insider information about how we do things, about whatever, about the Rowdies season, like Rowdies ticket sales. But I think I have qualms about how we approached ticket sales for this game on Wednesday, like from a front office standpoint. I feel like there needed to be more of a push. I feel like there needed to be some sort of promo, right? Like, this is a big game, big atmosphere. And we had less than 4,000 people in the stadium. I think the official number was, let's see. The official number for that Orlando game was 3,735. Maybe a third of those were Orlando fans, if I'm being optimistic, right? That's not a lot, like, at all, right? And it's a big Open Cup game. It's a big opportunity. Maybe to a certain extent, now looking back, I'm glad more Rowdies fans and more casual fans didn't go to see that, because who knows if that turns people off for, you know, the rest of the year, right? I have questions about how we approach that, you know, as a club. ticket sales wise. I'm questions, maybe not negatives, but maybe we talk this out and figure out what happened here, right? Not enough people in the stands, even though it's a Wednesday game, particularly because it's an Open Cup game against MLS team, because of the opponent, right? There should be more people there. Maybe it's a fans thing. I don't know. There's a lot you can dive into there that could be a whole episode of its own. But going back to the on-field stuff, again, it seems like the word I used earlier, existential, kind of applies to the sentiment you're feeling, James. Like thinking about the game itself, like we didn't pick a man of the match for a reason, right? Like, because everyone played.
Which is something I just want to step in real quickly one more time. That's something that we have up until now always done. Yeah. I have never been in a position where I was like, I'm not going to do it up until this past week. So continue.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was poor. It was very poor. Our midfield didn't react to balls going through the middle. Our back line was incredibly slow to react to anything that got put into the box. I mean, good defenders in our back line were getting outpaced and outclassed by a 16-year-old. And our defensive midfielders, Van Kaziel, was slow to get back, getting outplayed again by a 16-year-old. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't care. The guy's not Lamine Yamal. He's not Lamine Yamal. Like, kid's good. He's better than I was at 16, right? He's not Lamine Yamal. We've played MLS teams in the past. We've lost by one goal the last three times we've played them, and have arguably had a case to win at least two of those games against MLS squads, right? And against this very club, we played significantly better than we did this time at their home stadium. It's ridiculous. I mean, I know, like we said, maybe we don't spend too much time on this game against Orlando because it's MLS squad, but this isn't what the Rowdies do. Rowdies don't lose by five goals at home, no matter who it is. Right.
I mean, this matched our worst ever result, which oddly enough, and I forget who told me this, so I don't have the stat in front of me, but our worst ever result of the modern era was a 5-0 loss to New York Red Bulls 2, which is...
I had that one in my head. I was going to say, the only potential other embarrassing loss at this level was losing to Red Bulls 2 because it was a B team. At the time, I was like, what the hell? What are we doing? It was in New York. It was a time of transition for the squad. And I still think this game beats that out for most embarrassing loss.
Significantly, in my mind, it does significantly.
Because, like, at that time, we were mono transition, whatever. It was probably the most, like, I had that game in my head. There was maybe 12 people in the stands to witness that loss, right? Like, it was, at the end of the day, it was gone. It was a moment. I believe it was that 2018 season when Neil Collins took over, kind of like halfway through. I might be wrong. That loss was horrible, obviously. 5-0 to Red Bulls 2, a 2 squad, unacceptable. This is different. I mean, yeah. This is at home against a team that you knew was going to come in with some force. It's a team that fans have a history with. I mean,
and also they started this by trying to continue with that history. There were people who were masked up and threw their flares onto the field over a fence. I mean, I just want, I'm all for, like, I'm all for little acts of deviancy on a soccer setting. I really don't think that most of them rise to that bad of a problem. But if you are throwing flares, which are like basic pyrotechnics, if you're throwing them in a place where you don't know exactly where they're going, that's insane to me. That's insane behavior. And this happened at our field. And then obviously afterwards, the game happened. Like, this is the level of this when Carlos mentions disrespect, that's the level of disrespect. And you can take a loss on the chin to a certain point, but 5-0 is dreadful to hear people that support this awful bunch of dickheads team. And this is where it ends. I understand that it's an MLS team, but that's simply, if you have to put all 11 men on the back line to prevent a 5-0 loss, Fair enough. 5-0 is crazy. It's crazy.
This doesn't happen. But I think, James, your fellow podcaster and soccer, lower level soccer contributor, Kartik, wrote a good summary of, I think it was, the headline was, "What the heck is wrong with the Tampa Bay Rowdies?" I think I retweeted it. I might have shared it. Oh my gosh, what was I going to say just now? Oh, he made a point where he goes, something along the lines of, "I hadn't seen this big a disparity between two teams, even when a professional team is playing against an amateur team in the Open Cup. Like, we looked like an amateur team. It wasn't close. Like, it wasn't even like, I don't think we had a chance in this game. Like a scoring chance. Like,
right.
We looked like an amateur team against these guys, and they're not anything special. And on top of the fact that they're not anything special, they were playing a kid and maybe another kid. I don't care to look back at the lineup at this point, but the 16-year-old is the one that scored the first two goals against us. This is not Lamine Yamal. This is not FC Barcelona we're playing against. This is Orlando City from down I-4 that's struggling in MLS and played most of their reserves against us. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Again, we've played MLS teams before. We didn't look like this at home or away to Orlando 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Like, our team was in a better place, whatever. But that was also the year Orlando went on to win the Open Cup, and we played a good game against them. And we left there with some pride. We lost again, but we left there with our shoulders up, whatever. Like, you know, chin held high. Ralph Snob singing in the stadium concourse after the game. It was fun. It was fun. We lost, but we had fun. Nobody had fun this game. Like, there was no fun to be had in this one. This was awful. Awful. And there was, I think there's a question about, and Steve, and again, I like Steve, his early moments with the Rowdies. The quote was something along the lines of, "No shame in losing to an MLS squad," right? Am I getting that vaguely accurately, James?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact words, but vaguely accurately is correct.
Vaguely accurately. Like, James, like Steve, coach, like, we've talked before, like, you're a great guy. And we've talked in the press conference and at the field, at the training center, like, you've been dealt a tough card, tough set of cards, tough deck of cards, like, understood. But there's shame in how we lost this game. I think there's a lot of shame in how we lost this game. That's one thing I'll push back on here. This was awful. This was awful. I mean, I hadn't felt this, like, empty about a game since, like, that Open Cup, or since that, like, you know, USL final loss against Orange County.
Yeah,
I walked out of there with that same type of feeling. It's different, but it's the same feeling I had in my gut. It was just awful, awful.
Just want to highlight too a couple of quick comments here. Charles R. Gallagher: pro referees worse this year. How many mistaken penalties this far? Like I said, I think four. I think four mistaken penalties at least. Three that were egregious, egregious calls. Absolutely insane calls. That being said, it does all fit the pattern, and that's the problem, is obviously the pattern. And so it is a problem that the Rowdies are facing, and it's something that happens to be beyond their control, but it's absolutely astonishing what happens afterwards in the case of the Charleston game. And this one I saw as well. Carlos, I thought that you were writing while you were on this, but then I realized it's your dad. I am losing interest when I see players that game after game do not seem interested in playing for the team. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. And yes, I apologize for mixing up Carlos with his dad on Carlos TPA.
This is a conversation I've had with my dad multiple times now. And we have, he's always more negative than I am about everything. That's how he is. Whether it's our team in Ecuador, or whether it's the Rowdies, or whether it's the national team, like, he's always more negative. And sometimes I have to remind him, especially when he's on Facebook, I'm like, you and I have the same name, both named Carlos Rueda. Not that I'm like a massive influencer in the world of Tampa Bay sports, but I'm even in his profile picture. Like, I feel like moments where folks might get confused about, I've never commented on Facebook. So if you see my name on Facebook, it's probably my dad, just for the record. If you're listening to this live, keep throwing in comments in here. unless you're my dad, don't. Or do. That's fun. That was a funny moment. I threw in the fact, James, when we started going live, I threw in the Rouse Bob Discord. Like, you know, you and I are live. Tune in, give us some thoughts or whatever. Thoughts from the Rouse Mob Discord are that we need to score more than the other team. It's good to take away. One guy said that all my teams are in the toilet, so I don't really take it too hard that the Rowdies are garbage right now. So maybe go with that mindset. If you support a bunch of teams that aren't good, this isn't all that bad for you.
Continuing also with Rouse Mob and where you were highlighting their man of the match performance versus Orlando City. It was also notable for anybody who didn't see, I sent these pictures to Eureka. I don't know if they ended up on our social media or not. But there are pictures on social media for sure. And they wound up in the highlights reel, of this game. So, there were fans who brought paper bags to put over their heads, for when we score or for when we were scored upon. And that happened early. So there were multiple fans in the stands with paper bags over their heads. And there were other fans who had a giant shit emoji. I'll say that here, a shit emoji on a sign and had the mustache upon the shit emoji. So I just want to say that, again, this goes back to where I was leading in with this is, I'm worried about people losing interest in this and at least this season. I don't think that the club is going to, you know, suffer long term in terms of its results on the field. But people do lose interest in if you get battered over and over, for sure, people will lose interest. I don't think that that'll keep up either, to be fair. But it's in a very dire strait in this particular moment. And it's not all down to Steve Coleman. It's not all down to individual players. It's not all down to the bad referees that we have unfortunately seen over and over. But there is a confluence of factors, injuries, bad referees, players not living up to what we expect of them, for sure. That was something we talked to Aaron Guillen, the team captain, in the post-game press conference after Orlando. And, you know, I don't want to speak to his mental state. I don't want to say that this is for sure the case, but he seemed distraught. And that was after the fans told the players after the game that it was simply not good enough. And it's not. It's not good enough.
Did you mention Aaron Guillen? Was that the player just mentioned? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
I'll throw that in there real quick. Because I literally just had this quote pulled up that, and this is after the game, Guillen said, the fans are paying to come watch a game for us to win, to support us. They're always behind us, and we're not doing well enough. We have to just go out there and do it for them, for everyone that loves this club. The history of this club doesn't deserve what we're putting out there. That was fascinating to read after the game against Orlando, for the record. And this was put out like by the Rowdies. It wasn't even like we, you know, quoted this and put this out. Like,
right.
This was on the Rowdies website. The history this club has doesn't deserve what we're putting out there. Like, I thought that was really interesting to read. The quote from Guillen, team captain, was like, not only does he, like, I think it's interesting at least that we're acknowledging that's not good enough, players. But not only is it not good enough, but like, this club doesn't deserve what we are putting out on the field. That's fascinating. Sorry, I just want to throw that in there because you mentioned Guillen. You said he was like, you know, feeling a sense of observation from the outside, maybe distraught, right? Clearly upset at bare minimum. But you can tell, like, it's not a lack of these guys caring, right? Like, that's something you notice, you know, the guys care. They're visibly upset, maybe too upset. Maybe the emotions are kind of controlling how we play on the field sometimes, right? Yep. But it's not that they don't care. There's a lot of guys on this team currently that have been here for quite a while and seem to care actually quite a lot about this team. So it's not a lack of caring. You can tell they care, apologizing. Steve Coleman comes into the stands after the game against Charleston, if I'm not mistaken, James. Were you there for that?
No, I had actually gone down to do the press conference, and I was standing under the dugout because I wait for the team to pass by and I'm not in the way. And as it happened, he was more than likely above me on the dugout talking to the fans.
Yeah. So, I mean, even Steve has been here for what, all of 3-4 months. That he seems to, you know, I mean, it's his job, obviously, like, you know, he has a certain sense of livelihood and future at stake with how he does here. Like, he obviously cares, like the guys care. So it's not that, for the record. Right. And I think that quote by Guillen kind of sums it up. Like, they know they're not playing well enough. But then my thing is, right, if you know, like, this is where we are, if you know that, like, you're conscious of that, you want to do something about it, right, you have an opportunity on Saturday against Charleston, and then what happens? It was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. I mean, again, that penalty call maybe changes something. I don't think that penalty call changes whether we lose or not. Like, I think we still lose that game.
I think that's fair. I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
And you could definitely see from the players afterwards, this is something that we've hit on, but you could definitely see from the players that they, oh, here we go again. This is where we're going.
I think it accelerated the process of losing this game. Right. I think we might've lost this game in the second half had it not been the penalty, but that penalty accelerated that process. We go on to concede another one really quickly. Kyle Jennings got an assist, and that's all I remember. I don't even remember who scored it. Charleston goes up 3 goals and wins this one rather comfortably. Like, what does that say, right? Like, it can't get any worse, you think, after Wednesday. Maybe it doesn't get worse. It's not a more embarrassing loss, in my opinion. Some folks might disagree with me. But it's certainly not even close to trending in the right direction. Not even close. Again, maybe even getting worse if you ask, you know, certain people. Injuries, lack of depth. I don't know. I think this is why the word existential keeps coming up. Maybe not. Maybe we're not talking about, like, the very existence of this club, like whether it folds in a year or two, because right. Like, I think we're blessed to not be in that situation, like a lot of lower league teams in this country. But we are talking about, like, where the on-field performance is for at least the rest of this year, and how that affects attendance next year, and people caring about the club, and how that affects – it's a ripple effect, right? It's a ripple effect. It's tough. It's tough. So maybe this is a question for you, James. Like, what's your takeaway from the performance on Saturday then? Does it say anything to you? Does it communicate a message to you after being how poor we were on Wednesday and then following it up with what happened Saturday?
Well, let me do this in answer to your question. I went to the press conference there on Saturday, and you know, Steve Coleman was gracious as well in that moment, and, you know, wanted to field questions regardless of where we were. One of the things that he did focus on, because another reason that I was waiting for a while for the team to come under the stadium and then to do the press conference, because they were out in a huddle for a real long time after the game, just talking about what was going on. So I asked him about that to start, and Steve Coleman told me that the first half obviously went the way that it did. Everybody is aware that we were really, really poor in that first half in a lot of different ways, and ultimately gave up the 3 goals that meant the game was out of reach. In the second half, before they went out, he wanted us to do things at least differently and approach that as a separate moment. So the second half was different. They played in a different formation. Blake Bodley had gone off, but it was a game that was more prepared for wing backs. And I think Pacific Nyangabire had gone off. He was injured right before halftime as well. We'll have to keep an eye on that. So, you know, that could be more bad news considering where we are with injuries. But so those were the two changes that went into it at halftime when we then came out. And I think not a 3-4-3, but like a 3-5-2-ish situation again. So we did play better in the second half. We scored in the second half, and we didn't give up a goal in the second half. And I think that was Steve Coleman's big takeaway for me in that particular moment was, yes, everything has been pretty poor recently. Nobody's going to mince words about that. But if there's not light at the end of the tunnel, there is something that is, there is a tool in our hand to try to dig out and find a little bit of light, I suppose. And I think that that's, you know, I guess that that's the best way that I can leave it in this particular moment, because yeah, Saturday was a very poor game. It wasn't much better than Wednesday. I don't think it was as bad as Wednesday in terms of the psychological effect. I think that that was a brutal, brutal beatdown for anybody who has ever worn green and gold. But you gotta take away some level of positive, I suppose. And the positive, if one is to be had, Saturday started horribly and it ended better than that.
Yeah, I guess there's that. I don't know. I don't know what else to say, James. I was looking at like some notes. I was looking at the game result, maybe the highlights. Ollie Bassett was pretty good, kind of. Like, I think he has a lot more to give. I think sometimes it's like easy to interpret effort as a good performance when everything is horrible. I think he showed effort, but not necessarily great performance. And I think it was easy for me to interpret in the moment effort as a quality performance when really everything was just awful. But shout out to him for running around the field on Wednesday, I guess.
Shout out as well to Andrew Mustali, who got an assist on the goal. And if I'm not mistaken, that is actually his second assist on the season. So
did he get an assist on that, Charles? I had no clue. I did not realize that.
Yep.
Wow. Well, there you go. Andrew now has 2 assists on the year. That's impressive at 17 years old.
Yeah.
Keep it up, kid. Hell, I mean, at this point, he might be getting some starting minutes. Who knows? I don't know where else to go from here. There's just so many questions. I mean, there really is. We've been going at this for over an hour now, and there's still a lot of questions I have that I could ask about players, Arteaga, right? About
we have not talked about individual players, but there's definitely been a number who I could say have not lived up to the expectations.
Yeah. I mean, and this isn't necessarily not living up to expectations, but you know, like I love Leo to death. He's coming back from injury and we're relying on him for so many minutes, right? Like that's tough. Right. Wyke has really struggled. I don't know. I don't get it. Like there's a lot of questions we can ask about individual players as well, but I think at this point we've been going at this for over an hour. Might leave it there for now.
Yeah.
And then revisit those questions after next weekend if things are still bad, or even if they're not as bad, if things get better, we can still revisit them and say, well, you know what, maybe this player's getting better, trending up, right?
I think that that's a good thing for us to do in this particular moment, Carlos. Let's leave it there. And we'll move on to our extra time segment. So we recorded last week before this was actually announced. Pacific Nyangabire was named to the USL Team of the Week. So congratulations to him. That was for his fantastic goal against Birmingham. Legitimately, got to say, I gave him some shtick earlier in the year, and he was really electric against Birmingham Legion. So that goal was fantastic. Again, though, he went off injured before the halftime whistle against Charleston. I don't know what the deal is there. I don't know when or if he'll be, you know, if he needs some time on the sideline to deal with that or not. We shall see. But yeah, that one, hopefully, will get him back relatively quickly, because yeah, he did pretty well in that game. The second one is the more important point, Carlos. I'm going to read a little bit here and there from this overall thing, and then I'll just get your quick thoughts on it. But the Tampa Bay Rowdies are negotiating an extension on their lease at the downtown waterfront St. Petersburg Stadium, Al Lang Stadium, even as Mayor Ken Welch's administration has proposed demolishing the venue to replace it with an amphitheater and arts center. By the way, I'm going to take a real, very tiny quick aside to say that's not going to get you more money than Al Lang Stadium. I really don't think it will. Maybe. I really just don't think it will. Getting back to the quick thing here. The contract between the United Super League team and the city of St. Pete expires in November, according to its city contract, although city master plan mentioned possible demolition for Al Lang Stadium in a reimagination of St. Pete's Center of the Arts. The Rowdies have requested a one-year extension on their agreement, which the city has agreed to, and a longer extension is possible, St. Pete spokesperson Samantha Becker said. Now, that's positive because I think that we had mentioned previously all the stuff about Al Lang and the potential demolition of it, requiring the Rowdies to find a new place to play. We had mentioned at the time that their immediate future was probably not up in the air because it probably wasn't. And I think that this is a little good confirmation of that.
Yeah.
There is effectively, according to this anyway, an agreement in principle for 2026. And there is the potential for an extension beyond that, where during that time they can pursue other options if need be down the line. So, yeah. Carlos, I think that that's positive. And what are your thoughts?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, too, I think the last several years have been one-year extensions, one-year deals. So I'm like 90% sure that might be wrong. So this isn't anything out of the ordinary. I think the only thing that add some extra bit of, you're supposed to be at the 3-year deal. So maybe I might be wrong. But I think the thing that adds a bit of extra, like, you know, juice to this is the fact that there was that conversation about demolition of the stadium. And I think that kind of, you know, adds some fire around the conversation. I mean, it's good. I mean, I don't think it's a surprise. To be honest, like I said, I don't think this demolition of Al Lang was ever really in the cards for, it was never in the cards for in the immediate future. I still don't think it gets passed going forward, but that's another conversation to be had. This isn't surprising, but it's a good confirmation. So I'm glad we're still having a place to play, hopefully, next year. And then we'll figure out what we do from there over the next several years. So. Who knows?
There we go. I think that that's as good a place to leave it based on where this conversation has gone today, folks. If you have stuck with us for this long, we appreciate it. If you have any thoughts, you can interact with us, obviously, on all the social media, which is my fantastic transition into saying thank you, listeners. Please follow us on all the social media platforms. You can follow us at RBLR Sports on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, anywhere. There's some name that I'm forgetting, I think, but Eureka has them all down, so don't worry about it. If you would like to get at me for any particular reason, I am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. You can use the hashtag AskRBLR, or you can reach Carlos
at CarlosDPA10. Thank you, everyone, listening in live, whether it's YouTube or Twitter or wherever you listen. It's good to have the comments coming in live. It's fun to talk. If you're listening to this recorded, again, I'll reiterate my thanks from James. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
And again, please follow us on all the stuffs or, well, not or, also like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube where you can see our lovely faces, or if you would prefer, we are also on the Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple, and Google Podcasts. For 1 week down and a Rhode Island game coming up, come on, you Rowdies.
Win a game. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.